Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You got a short poem for us this week. I think it's interesting. It actually comes from Lancet, published this year, volume 383, starts on page 1549. It talks about smoke-free legislation, and I just want to start by pointing out that, you know, over the past decade or two or three, there's been a lot of attention placed on finding passive ways that we can improve people's health, the population's health. In other words, can we change the environment or perhaps change how we interact with our environment to make us healthier? And so that we've seen legislation, not much of it passed, but some of it proposed around diet drinks. We've seen very effective laws around seat belts and airbags. And now there's been proposed legislation, at least here in California, that really looks at where people smoke and don't smoke. The article that is from Lancet this week asks, how effective is smoke-free legislation on the health outcomes of children? It's a meta-analysis. What did they find?
I was interested in this one because, well, one thing, I'm in a College of Public Health, but also, you know, we have seen some cases where public health legislation that was definitely having a positive impact was rolled back because of political pressures. One of the examples is Michigan, where they used to have people riding a motorcycle, used to have to wear helmets. I'm from Michigan, and I still go back there a lot. And I was just shocked once when one year we drove back up and all these guys riding along the highway without a helmet on. You know, so this can happen. And, there certainly was also a lot of pushback by the restaurant industry when these were initially passed. There was good research done showing that they did not have a negative impact on business. In fact, in some cases, a positive impact. But, I think we need to be, continuing to look for the evidence of this. And when you look nationally, there are many states where they might have smoke-free legislation banning smoking in restaurants or bars, but not necessarily in other non-hospitality workplaces. So people can still smoke in the workplace if they want to and affect other people that way. So, yeah, these authors did a meta-analysis. They looked all over the place for published, unpublished studies looking at the effects specifically of smoke-free legislation on preterm birth, low birth weight, and asthma. So they were concerned about the impact on the most vulnerable populations, the unborn, newly born, and those with asthma. Ultimately, they found 11 studies, half in North America, half in Europe, that covered more than 2.5 million births and nearly 250,000 asthma exacerbations. So these are very large studies. They focused on legislation or studies in settings where the legislation required a comprehensive and immediate change in smoking access to smoking. They didn't, for example, use studies in Belgium because that was more of a stepwise implementation. They wanted a sudden change, which would make it easier to see an impact on health outcomes. They were all pretty good studies. 4 were at low risk of bias, 6 moderate risk, only 1 was high risk of bias. In the 4 studies with 1.4 million births, smoke-free legislation was associated with a 10% decrease in the frequency of preterm birth immediately after the legislation was passed, and that improvement was maintained. So that's a big drop, 10% decrease in preterm births. They did not see an impact on low birth weight infants, but again, they did see an impact on preterm, which obviously has important public health and cost implications. Looking at asthma, there were 3 studies with about 250,000 events, and they found, again, a 10% drop in the rate of hospital attendance, so going to the ER or being admitted for an asthma exacerbation. Basically, they looked at some other secondary outcomes like small for gestational age, birth defects, that kind of thing, which showed inconsistent results. But clearly, the bottom line is that passage of smoke-free legislation is associated with a nearly immediate and clinically important improvement in the number of preterm births and asthma exacerbations.
Amazing. I mean, you know, there aren't a lot of things that we do that can affect a 10% reduction in some of these. You know, in California, there's one street in the desert or someplace where you can smoke. I mean, I feel badly for people that really want to smoke, the sort of libertarians who are going to do it no matter what. But, you know, this is an amazing success story. You know, over the past 10 or 15 years, we've really shown, I mean, California, the smoking rate now is 14%, down from low 30s, 15 years ago. And it's these kind of laws. And so it's not only the disease, right? It's also, yeah. If they make it hard enough for people to smoke, they finally say, this is just crazy. I'm going to stop this.
Yeah. And you can, there are other ways, like with taxes. Unfortunately, Georgia has, I think, the lowest excise taxes on tobacco in the nation. So that's a real problem. New York, I think, probably California have, I would guess, among the highest. I know New York's is very high. And, you know, again, there's good literature that has a real impact on both initiation and ultimately quitting smoking. So it's good to be reminded every once in a while that these sort of population-level public health interventions, we need to support that. We need to be vocal politically when people push back and say, well, I have the right to smoke or whatever, wherever I want to. It's important that as physicians we push back a little bit and let people know that there is good evidence that these are useful interventions.
Yeah, no, it's a whole other discussion. We'll save for another day. But the whole helmet, it's a great point. Motorcycle helmets and the libertarian view versus the public health view, and who's paying for all of this?
In Michigan, it's pretty. I mean, I honestly, they just loosened the fireworks laws too. So I think I'm increasingly feeling that being a redneck is a state of mind, not a state of geography. And sadly, my home state is becoming more redneck every year, unfortunately.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week. Good article.
All right. See you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.